This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 91 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. Today, Master John and Slave Anne, BDSM advocates of the Pacific Northwest. Here's your hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting across the desk is the Beast.
A very wet, frustrated Beast.
Slightly soggy.
Yes, Nashville drivers go crazy in the rain.
Well, you know, I came home in my canoe today and it was just fine.
You did need a canoe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yes, the weather is on us. But sometime next April, let's say April 14th through the 17th, in the beautiful state of Louisiana, in Springfield, there is an event called the First Annual Spring Fling Leather Fest 2016.
This looks like a really interesting event. The subtitle is Camping with a Prim de Flair.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and we looked up the location. The location's excellent. Just a little outside New Orleans?
Yeah, it's northwest. I guess maybe about an hour or so. It's just north and west of the Lake Pontchartrain up there. So straight east of Baton Rouge.
I can't think of any more excuse you need to head south than that.
In April, that would be beautiful down there.
Yes, yes. And it is a leather title event, I see.
Yes, we have the Mr. and Ms. Spring Fling Leather Person. We have the Mr. and Ms. Transgender Awareness Contest and the Fantasy Campsite Competition. So there's a lot of fun going on. We're going to talk more about this as we get closer to the date, but just write down April 14th to the 17th, 2016 in Louisiana.
Sounds fun, Woody. I just hope my calendar has an opening. We have with us today Master John and his slave Anne coming to us from Seattle. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello.
And you all are lifelong, most of your life, community members, aren't you?
A good chunk, pushing 20 years for myself, not about half my life.
And you, how did you get started in this community?
For myself, it was before Anne came along. I was dating somebody that, I was vanilla, she was vanilla. I thought one night she asked if I want to try something a little bit different, and it turned out to be some really weird sick shit with tying up breasts and beating the nipples with a wooden spoon.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
One of the best nights of your life, wasn't it? Up to that point.
Yeah. So I decided I need to do that again. That relationship came and went. I had a couple of, or at least one other that came and went, and then was introduced to Anne, and the rest is history.
And so how many years have you been with Anne?
15 years last March.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's a wonderful run in this lifestyle where the Velcro collar is still alive and well.
Unfortunately, yes.
Anne, how did you get your start?
Well, when I was married to my ex-husband, he decided that our marriage needed spice and decided that we needed to try swinging. So we did. And one of my partners was a dominant, and he introduced me to the lifestyle. And I haven't looked back since. He also not only introduced me to the lifestyle, he also introduced me that women were yummy. So I'm very thankful to him.
Woody and I would agree about women being yummy.
Yes, yes, but we don't have the perspective she does.
No. We have a little different equipment. This is true. You all ran for a leather title, was it last year?
2014 was when we had the title, yes. We originally ran in 2012 for Northwest Master and Slave. We did not get the title that year. It went to Master Morris and Slave Jonathan, who went on to become International Master and Slave 2013.
Pretty stiff competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yes. We couldn't have lost to nicer people. They're great friends of ours now. Then we reran in 2014, hopefully correcting the mistakes we made in 2012, and we were awarded the title that year.
And Northwest, tell me about that contest. How long has it been going on? What size event is it?
I would say about somewhere between 400 and 500 people. It's been going on, about 10 years?
Yes.
About 10 years. The region encompasses Northern California from just north of Fresno up Oregon, Idaho, Washington, Alaska, Wyoming, and Montana.
And Reno. We don't know why it contains Reno, but Reno, Nevada. Not all of Nevada, just Reno.
Yeah, they've always considered Reno kind of part of Northern California, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, Woody hails from that area originally.
Oh, yes. Spent much time up there.
So this contest, the competition is obviously stiff if they have already yielded an international winner. So what was the contest like the year y'all ran?
There were three other contestant pairs, which they max out at five. They don't allow any more than that just from time constraints. Those other three were definitely very qualified contestants. Any one of us four would have been very successful in that year.
It was still stiff competition that year, and congratulations. Well, what's a year in leather like in such a large geographical area?
Well, it entailed a lot of traveling. I think I added up the miles, something like 38,000 miles we ended up traveling by the time you end up in Alaska, and then we hit the other title contest in Washington, D.C., and Great Lakes in Indianapolis, Phoenix, Arizona. A lot of our region is fairly rural, so that had its own share of challenges. We had to go to munches, some of the smaller meetings, and some of the areas being fairly conservative areas, a lot of the groups are not as open as things are in Seattle, so that was something of a challenge, too. They didn't necessarily always want people they considered strangers showing up at their munches or their play parties. But we never did get a no. We made contact with people in the right areas and were able to get in. Unfortunately, Wyoming was the one state in our region we did not get to.
No, we didn't make to Reno either.
And we didn't make it to Reno, yes.
Reno.
Yeah, just from time constraints, it was not a matter of being rejected by anybody.
So there was a bit of a culture thing going on, and this is interesting because you are the first people that have went out in those rural areas and with the leather title that we have talked to. We've talked to some people in the southeast here that have come to some smaller communities, but they're usually hit the urban areas. And I know those states you named, the urban areas even are small.
Yeah, you got a lot of jackrabbits between cities.
Yes.
What are some of the interesting stories about some of these groups that are operating in the rural areas of those states?
One of the things that we noticed at pretty much all the places we went to, whether it be rural or more urban, is we encountered people that really did touch us and affect us on a personal level. One of the events we went to was, it's called Meet in the Middle, which is about dead center of Washington State, maybe a little bit towards Oregon. And it's situated to get people from Boise, Idaho, from what we call the Tri-Cities, which is around Richland, Hanford area along the Columbia River, some from Spokane, Washington. There were some from Seattle. They were very warm and welcoming, and you know, it was a great experience. I definitely made some friends there that I didn't know before. One great encounter we had up in Bellingham, Washington. We were marching in their Pride Parade, which was fairly short. You know, I joke about that. You know, we stepped onto the parade route and then go half a block and step off the parade route. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty close. But we were carrying the banner for the Northwest Master Slave title, And we got to the end at the staging area, and this one woman wearing a collar came up to us and hugged both of us, and she had tears in her eyes and said how grateful she was to finally see her own dynamic represented in the parade. And it's the little moments like that where you're touching somebody on a one-to-one level that really made all that time and effort and financial expense worthwhile. You know, that was definitely one. Do you have one, Em?
Well, that's the one I was thinking was that one.
Oh, the stewardess.
Well, that was more in the big area. But I think one time that touched me in our title year was meeting other slaves who were doing the same thing I was, doing the work, teaching, and actually talking to them and saying, hey, have you ever thought about running for Northwest Master Slave? You really should. That was a great time for me. And then another time, the stewardess story is, we were just finished winning. We were walking through the San Jose airport, and I'm behind him, which is how we our normal, you know, walking order is. And this stewardess out of the blue comes up and hugs me and says, I was in the audience when you won. Congrats. I was still in shock, going, okay.
That is so funny when it happens. I was at an in-service for my work, which is very, very conservative. And across the table from me was a fellow colleague, and she had on a necklace that I've only seen used in slave purposes. So I was asking her where she got it from, and she was coy. And about a day later, I get something on my fet that hits her. She was the one across from me at work. So you just never know, do you?
They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Yes.
Yes, we are everywhere.
So these rural areas, how many people were at these meetings?
Okay, so one munch I can think of in Montana, there was, what, maybe 30 people there. And this included people from a number of these surrounding communities that had come in. There was about 30 in that one. Bellingham, there was, you know, maybe 30, 40 people. They generally were less than 100. Most of them were probably more than 20, but I don't know how much of that was due to the fact that it was advertised that we were there and they came to see us. We're not talking huge amounts, that's sure. But you get more time to spend with the people one-on-one, which is what really mattered.
And it just shows that we are indeed everywhere in every corner of the United States and globe. There are kinky people to be found.
Yeah, that's definite.
Now, you run an event.
Yes, we are two of the four that are the main people. Of course, we have a committee that's rather large as well. It's called Leather Rain. It is the second week in November, and this will be our ninth year.
Congratulations. And Leather Rain, tell us more.
Okay. It started out as a primarily authority power exchange focused event. Here in Seattle, there are a lot of smaller events that deal a lot with S&M and some of the, you know, the kinky and queer type things. But there was not much on the master slave dominant submissive side of things. So we decided to start an event and see how that went. And it went very well. As years have progressed, we've added an attempt to create a little bit more diversity because we noticed that we were primarily old white guy, male dominant, female slave type event, and that's not what we wanted to be known for. We added some people onto our committee to help us in that score. But we've always maintained the main core of more about why we do what we do as opposed to how to do things. So it's very much a relationship type event, how to set up your relationship to where you can go 15 years rather than give up too early. What to do if your relationship has run its course, you know, how do you deal with the inevitable, you know, ending of that relationship. We do have some technique-related workshops, but they're generally 200 level and above more about, you know, why do you, you know, what about the bottom that wants to be the bottom for a whip? You know, why, what do they get out of that as opposed to don't hit the kidneys, don't hit the ears, sorts of things.
So this year I am so excited about our keynote speaker in the evening, our Saturday night keynote speaker. We have Patrick McKay is going to interview Race Bannon, and we told them that everything's fair game. We don't care what they talk about. So I am really excited to hear what Patrick is going to ask Race.
This is going to be interesting because Race can go everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been most everywhere.
Yeah.
This is an unusual event, and so many events are geared towards the techniques, as you said, how to flog, how to spank. And the relationship side of it is less noticeable in a lot of events. Now, we had the Master-Slave Conference in D.C. just winding up within the last couple of days, and that's a notable exception, but that's the only one I can think of that the relationship is the core of the event. What made you decide to go with that?
I think it's because there were so many of the how-to, the SM-type events in this local area. And we had a group of people that were, you know, our main social circle. And to be clear, it was not Ann and I's idea. The first year, we tagged along with a couple of other couples. It's morphed into where we're actually on the board now. But there was a number of people in our social circle that were all authority-based relationships. And it was noticed that there weren't any local conventions, events that really dealt with that. The nearest major one was Kingfest in Portland, which is almost entirely SM-oriented. We could go travel to Thunder in the Mountain. That one was very much a SM-oriented one as well. And we felt that there was potentially a need for it here. So we did a couple years test to see if people responded to that, and they very much did.
And we must say that Seattle is a very diverse and open-minded community, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And much, much more atypical for the rest of the nation, I think. So the Seattle community, what's it like up there?
As you stated, very, very diverse. We have a very strong men's community. We have a very strong women's community, the queer community. The poly community is very strong. We have quite a number of munchions and meetings that are specific to certain demographics because we have the ability to do that. We have a organization called the Center for Sex Positive Culture, and it's got a 501c3 arm to it, the Foundation for Sex Positive Culture. And it's very much a great gateway for people who are fresh and new coming into the community that don't really know what to do or how to be safe, and they can join this. And there's lots of workshops and special interest groups. MAST meets there, MAST Seattle group meets there. You know, and that really helps solidify our community quite a deal. And one of the things that I see here that I'm not sure is quite as strong in many areas, and I may be speaking out of turn, but these different demographics, even though they're very much different, collaborate very well with each other. We're friends with each other. We see each other at a lot of different mutual events, and that is very much great. So even though we have all of our own time for our own kind, we spend a lot of time with each other as well.
See, Seattle, walking down the street and being in leather is not such a head-turner as it would be in some of the rural communities that you were touring in during your year of title.
People wouldn't even bat an eye when I walked down the street in leather. It's, in fact, my first Pride parade, I walked to the parade route in full leather, and I had an older lady go, "You go, girl," because I was in my leather corset and long leather skirt and walking out at, 9 o'clock in the morning. There are places that do comment about what is, on our backs that say Northwest master, Northwest slave in the smaller communities and ask about what it is. And you have to answer those kind of questions too.
Are the questions prejudiced or are they just inquisitive?
Inquisitive. Yeah. What is that? What does that mean? More that than anything else.
And of course the terms master and slave they're really hot button terms. Even here in very liberal Seattle, they can be real hot button terms for obvious reasons.
We definitely ended up choosing some terms that they're loaded with dark historic references. And that has a community that is a bit problematic to us, I think, in moving forward and gaining some legal and social recognition.
It certainly could be, yes.
Woody, you moved up to the microphone and moved back.
I was just thinking about that. We're trying to, in one breath, we're trying to get mainstream, and we're trying to have everybody recognize us for what we are and be accepting. And then when we had Guy Baldwin on the show a while back, he said one of the things is he's losing the sizzle that it once had because it's turning vanilla. Our scene is turning vanilla. And so how do you respond to that?
I can't say that I totally disagree with him. Although I wasn't doing things back in the time he was. So I don't have quite that same frame of reference other than from what I read. But when we have certain movies coming out, 50 Shades, and then we have The Secretary, which struck me as more sexual harassment in the workplace than really SM.
And mutilation.
Yes.
Oh, and let's add mental illness in there.
Stability.
Yeah.
Yes. Being molested as a child and all kinds of, it put a flavor onto Master Slave and S&M that I don't think is deserving for, the majority of the community. But as people become more aware of it and they're more accepting such as it is, it does remove that outlaw status from it that was a good part of the sizzle. So, how do you keep the sizzle and still be accepted? That's a good question.
Well, from some of the things I understand is some of the community has branched off and gone back underground. You take a lot of the gay leather male community, they go off to their clubhouses and they close off from the hetero crowd simply because they like to play harder. They don't necessarily want to be judged for some other hard play.
Don't want to have to do SSE.
Right. And it becomes the clubhouse attitude. They've played this way for years. But when you start mixing in all the other groups, they start to get a little judgmental of it, and it caused a drawback.
Certainly.
So point being that when we see play that might not be comfortable for us, we need to just not be judgmental and say that's their play and leave it at that.
Their kink doesn't have to be our kink.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of a story from our year. We were down in Portland for their Leather Pride Week and saw an advertisement for this Leatherman's brunch. And if you wanted to come, just contact this person. So I contacted that person and, obviously male, or I'm obviously male, and said that I and my slave would like to come. Definitely got invited. We were there, I show up and it's entirely Leatherman. And I've got the one female in the room. I neglected to mention that my slave was female. They were completely warm and accepting. It didn't seem to bother them nearly as much as it bothered me, in that I felt like I might have betrayed the space a little bit. But it definitely taught me to make sure that I'm clearer about who I am when I'm approaching strangers. But it was kind of a funny experience.
I personally had a great time being around that many leather men all in one room, but
you were a bit intoxicated by the time you come away from it.
Yeah. I had a great time.
Now, you all also walk in another community. You're in the poly community, aren't you?
Yes, a poly of sorts. And I say of sorts because I know there are some poly people who would not consider us poly. There's very different configurations and types of poly relationships out in the world. For us, it is a closed polyfidelity relationship. We have another female that is part of our family. And in fact, October 31st of 2010, we married her in a poly wedding to both Anne and myself. Of course, married in parentheses. There's no marriage license. There's no legal observance of it.
Except in some secret places in the state of Utah.
Yeah. But she's been part of our family for 8 years now. So
that is an impressive run for a poly relationship.
It is. You're really breaking some records here.
Poly and kink in Seattle. How does that work?
There's a pretty big Venn diagram there. There are definitely poly people who are not kinky in our sense. There's definitely a monogamous kinky people who sometimes feel that the poly kind of gets pushed at them a little bit too much. But and then probably the majority of the people I know are kinky and poly at the same time, either short-term relationships by intent or some that are longer. We definitely have friends that have pretty solid, longer-running poly relationships as well who are kinky.
So you find the majority of the local community has a poly bend, if you will. It is very comfortable with the poly lifestyle.
Correct. I'm not sure how typical that is across the country, but that seems to be pretty typical here in Seattle.
I think that is rather common here in the Southeast also, is the overlap between kink and poly. And there definitely is a difference in the kink and the poly lifestyles in the purest sense, though.
Yeah, in some cases, the poly lifestyle does not have to be kinky.
Absolutely.
Is poly a comfortable term in Seattle, or is it still kind of a whisper?
Actually, I am out at my workplace as poly.
Oh, that's cool.
Just because it just has happened. Being bisexual or your sexual orientation is a protected class in Seattle.
Well, nationwide now.
And, well.
No, I don't think it's nationwide yet, is it?
No.
Yeah, you're correct. I misspoke. I was thinking of the same-sex marriage. And issues. Yeah. Correct. With federal employees it is, but not in general. You're right.
So when I talk about Kim or talk about Master, you know, people ask who they are. And I go, that's my wife. That's my, husband. In fact, when we first, Kim came into our house, I broke our HR system because I wanted to have two spouses and it wouldn't let me. So there's a lot of testing of the system right now. They had to fix that. And HR wasn't completely happy with me, but, it's like, hey, I should be able to have two spouses. It's not that I want them both on my insurance. It's just I have two spouses. I should be able to have two spouses as emergency contacts.
We should also be able to have them on the insurance.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Mm-hmm. Seattle is a leader, though, in the gay rights area, isn't it?
We certainly have our place in the history, yes. I don't know that we had a big event like Stonewall, for example, or the things that happened in San Francisco back in the day, but we definitely have our place in the history.
What's it like living in such a progressive community? Woody and I are just trying to imagine it.
Well, that's homeland to Dan Savage. It's central out there.
We are so far in the closet in some parts of our world, it's just rather frightening.
Well, as we often say, we're in the buckle of the Bible Belt down here.
No, we are in the hole, the smallest hole on that belt that the buckle was in. It is a deep, dark hole sometimes here.
Very different attitude than on the West Coast.
And we take it for granted sometimes. And that's one of the things that I got out of our title years when we were doing the traveling. You begin to realize just how closeted some areas have to be because of the persecution from some of the other citizens, people losing jobs and such, how far people have to travel just to go to a leather bar. And we've got one just up the road from us. So, yes, it's unfortunate. And we try not to take it, you know, once our eyes were opened a little bit more to what it was that we really had here, we try not to take it for granted as much.
We are definitely blessed.
Well, then we have polarizing events like the national news that's come out of Kentucky recently with a county clerk being jailed from a federal judge. And then you had all the supporters that came out on her side. So there is still a polarization of the public between being able to marry any sex, and the thought of poly is just terrifying.
That's true.
Let's get a plug in for your event. It's coming up in the very near future, and I presume there's still some time for people to register and make plans to attend.
Yes, registration is still open up to the day of the event. It is the second weekend in November, starting on Friday afternoon. And it's held specifically up in Everett, a little bit north of us this year. We move around a little bit in the Seattle metropolitan area. Some years have been a little bit south. Some have been a little bit to the east. The last 2 years were a little bit to the north.
Leatherrein.org.
Yes.
And that's spelled R-E-I-G-N.
Yes.
Correct.
And what will they find? We've already heard that a race is going to be there on Saturday night. And what other events or speakers or so forth will the attendees be expecting?
Well, we're going to have Mistress Susan and Slave Ziggy. They're coming in.
We have the current reigning Northwest Master and Slave. Ms. Rhonda and her slave Tomo are going to be up speaking, and Slave Tomo will be giving the Sunday address.
And about 400 people, and they can find the information on the leatherrein.org website.
And our event is closer to 200 people.
200.
Yeah. Okay. And that's by design. A lot of what people like about our event is the small, intimate atmosphere that we have. So we keep it to around 200.
Our listeners will find a link on the page that they can click to and get more information. Is there anything, Ann or John, you'd like to share with us before we wrap this up?
Well, we want to thank you for having us. This was awesome talking to you.
I agree. We feel honored to have been asked to participate.
Well, we certainly hope to hear from you again soon, and we want to talk to you after your event and see how it went.
Okay, thank you.
We'd love that.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You have been listening to episode 91 of The Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when Lord Spooner visits with us.